Wow, good morning, everybody. Do you know, I get really encouraged and excited when there's themes that run through our morning and things that God's doing with the children and the young people and with us. It's really exciting. God is a God of the present, isn't he? Yeah. Those of you who are not so sure, hopefully you'll catch up. But we do, we believe that, don't we, that God is the God of the present. And we get our authority from the Bible that was written in the past. Yes? But the Bible that was written in the past is relevant for the day, for today, and it affects our future. And I just felt that that was a word for somebody this morning, that, you know, God does speak to us. It's so encouraging when God speaks to us. But it is so important that we are rooted in the Word of God and that we recognize the authority of God through the Word. And I just want to say to you this morning that if you're just thinking that God is saying something to you, but you're not quite sure whether it really lines up with the Bible or with Scripture, then it's probably not him that's saying it. And I'm just throwing that out there. It's good for us all to be reminded of that. And if you're just struggling with that a little bit, come and talk to us afterwards, because that's what we're all about, aren't we? As family of God, we're here to help each other work out this thing called life. So the good thing is that God speaks to us. And one of the things as a leadership team that we feel that God has been speaking to us about over the last 3 months, actually, is that this year, 2020, is going to be a year of double and a year of deep and wide. Zoe's going to talk to us a little bit more about a year of double in a few minutes, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about it being a year of deep and wide, picking up when Matt left off last week. But a few months ago, when we met on one of our away days, we had a really strong sense that God said the significance of this year is deep and wide and double. And it's great when God speaks, because he's spoken to us about last year about it being a year of transformation. We've not stopped our transformation. You know, we didn't get to the 31st of December and go, right, well, that's that one done and dusted. I'm still being transformed into the person that God wants me to be. And we're still being transformed as Aswood Church into the people that God wants us to be. But we've got a really exciting year ahead of us. And I'm really looking forward to this time next year when we look back on what it was all about that God has started to tell us and started to show us and started to reveal things to us as we start to respond to what he's saying to us and put some of that into action, how we're going to see him change and impact and move in our lives, but not just in our lives, but in the lives of the people and the communities around us. So, how does it look? Well, our vision, for those of you who are not so familiar, might be new, our vision is to be a spiritually healthy, growing church for all ages. You know, that's good. We want to be healthy, and we want to be growing, and we want to be a church that is relevant for every age. We want to be that because that is a reflection of God. Do you know, God reveals himself so much through people. Why? Because he created man in his image. Not men, mankind. If you really want to see a reflection of who God is, then you need to look at the characteristics of men and women together to see a fuller picture of who he is. And in the context of family, God is the designer of family. And when he puts us together with all of our different ages and all of our different types, our different characteristics, we get this wonderfully beautiful expression of who God is. And our mission is helping people find and follow Jesus. You know, we have a purpose. We have a reason for being here on this earth. And that is to help other people see who Jesus is, to bring and to reveal that truth to him. So when God is saying to us, I want you to go wider and I want you to go deeper, well, actually, that doesn't change any of that. It just means that we're going to go a lot deeper into that and a lot wider into that. So what does that actually mean? Sounds good. But God is calling us to go deeper. He wants us individually, on our own, but also corporately, as a body, as a church, to go deeper. Deeper in our understanding of who God is. Deeper in our knowledge. Talked about the Bible. You know, he wants us to get deeper into the Word of God, to have a deeper understanding and knowledge of that. He wants us to go deeper in our relationships. As part of our life groups, you'll know, those of you who are part of a life group, that for this season, we've restructured our life groups so that we can make more time for relationships. So that when we do come together, we can spend more time praying, breaking bread together, which we've done this morning. But really, our aim is to create more time so that we can go deeper and make more time to spend with people, whether that's with each other or in particular with people in our families, in our communities, that give us that opportunity to go deeper in our friendships. God wants us to go deeper in our relationships with him. How many people want to go deeper in their relationship with God? You know, it doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian, whether we've only just got to know God, or whether we're still to get to know God, or whether we've been knocking around for quite a long time. You know, we've never made it, have we? There's still new depths in our relationship with God that we can get to. And God is saying, do you know what? This is the year that I want you to see that happen. This is the year that I want to show you new things about me. This is the year that when you get to the end of it, you're going to look back and go, I've got a deeper friendship and relationship with God because I've allowed myself to go deeper. This isn't something that we've got to persuade God to do. He is always and always has been actually available and waiting for us to go deeper in our relationships with him. And he's calling us this year to be intentional about going deeper in our relationships with him. He wants us to go deeper with the Holy Spirit. He wants us in our relationships with him to see the Holy Spirit move in our lives in a deeper way, to reveal and to show and to develop new areas of gifting, new abilities in God through the Holy Spirit. Matt last week talked about being deeper in knowing God, deeper in living in freedom, and deeper in community. And what I want to encourage you to do, if you weren't here last week, or if you want to listen to it again, if you get on the podcast and pick that up again and spend a bit of time processing that, there was a handout, actually, that Matt gave us last week. Looks like this. We've got plenty of those around this week, so if you didn't get one and want one, or if you haven't listened to the podcast, I'd encourage you to grab one of those handouts and use that while you're listening to the podcast. Bit of homework. What about reaching wider? What does reaching wider look like? God wants us to be wider in our reach and influence. We're going to see, we really believe that we're going to see that in our areas of influence, in our families, first and foremost, because that's where we are, with our friends, with our neighbours, in our communities, in our workplaces, in our schools, on our holidays, at the shopping checkout counter, whatever, we believe that God is saying to us, expect to have a wider reach and a wider influence in all of those areas. Let's just pause a moment and have a look at Ezekiel 47. It will come up if you've got your Bibles and you want to find it, then feel free to flick into that. But if we could read Ezekiel 47, we looked at it last week. We're going to pick up on it again and just let some of that speak to us. And Ezekiel says this: "In my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on the south side. The man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing through the south side of the east gateway. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 1,750 feet and then led me across. The water was up to my ankles. He measured off another 1,750 feet and led me across again. This time the water was up to my knees. After another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist. Then he measured another 1,750 feet and the river was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. He asked me, 'Have you been watching, son of man?' Then he led me back along the riverbank. When I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. Then he said to me, 'This river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living water wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever this water flows. 10 fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea. All the way from En-Gedi to En-Glaim, the shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea, just as they fill the Mediterranean. But the marshes and swamps will not be purified. They will still be salty. 12 fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall, and there will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food and the leaves for healing." And that's, I don't know about you, when you read things like that, how easy you find it to put yourself into that sort of position where you could almost be there and see and feel what's going on. But it's a very helpful image of going deeper. You see, the water that was talked about coming from the temple is very symbolic of the Holy Spirit and all that God is doing in flowing out from the temple. And it seems to me that anybody who was there had the choice about how far they went in. They could go ankle deep, they could go knee deep, they could go waist deep, or they could get right in and swim. And there's an awful lot in this passage, and I'm not going to pull it all apart this morning. And Matt, helpfully last week, talked a bit more about it. So again, please listen to that from last week. But there's a huge amount of symbolism in that vision that God gave Ezekiel. But the really interesting thing for me is that at this particular point in history, that Ezekiel finds himself in this vision looking at what God is showing him, a vision of the future, a vision of all that God is going to do for that nation and all the blessings that are going to flow and come out of God moving. That the particular point in history is around about 10, 12 years or so after Jerusalem and the temple has been completely destroyed and razed to the ground. And so what Ezekiel is seeing is a temple and God's blessing flow from it. But in the natural, there is nothing there. The temple that was is no longer. The land that they occupied is in ruins. In fact, the people were all scattered as well. The people of Israel, a lot of them had been carried off into other countries in exile. Those that were left behind were living in a pretty ruined city, a ruined country, and they were living in extreme poverty. The royal line that they once had boasted about and had been so proud of was no longer. It had completely vanished. And at that moment in time, there was no hope. There was nothing that they could say, we have hope for the future. We have hope that any of the glory of the past will ever return. Our old way of life is pretty much over. So when Ezekiel sees this vision, it is in stark contrast to what is actually happening in the natural. And yet, God has spoken to him and he has shown him something that is huge. There's a huge amount of symbolism in there. But God was giving Ezekiel a hope for the future and the opportunity to wade into all of that or not. And I think sometimes for us in our current today situation, when God speaks, we can sometimes feel like in the natural, there's nothing much to hope for. In the natural, my dreams are in tatters. My life is very challenging. There's a lot of things that are standing in my way of progress, of really moving forward. And actually, when God speaks and says to me, you have a hope, you have a future, actually, sometimes that's a difficult place to be, because you're looking at the natural. You're looking at all the challenges that there are around you. And I just want to challenge us, and I want to challenge you this morning, that if at the start of this year, when we're talking about going deeper and going wider, that actually what's in your mind and what's in your heart is, I don't know if I can go deeper and I don't know if I can go wider because of all the situations and circumstances that you find yourself living in the natural. And I want to encourage us this morning and say that God wants to give us a vision of hope and a vision of the future. But it is actually down to us whether we step into all of that or whether we opt out. You know, this gave the Israelites an opportunity to reflect on their past. But it also gave them a renewed determination to change their present despite their past because of the future hope, the return of the glory of God. And I want to encourage and challenge us this morning that actually if you're in that place where it's good to reflect on the past, but God wants to give you a new determination to change your present because it will affect your future. I really liked Adrian's story this morning. Thank you for sharing that. Because when we're looking at, you know, how do we go deeper into all that God has for us, often it takes a bit of a risk, and it often takes us to get into a place of just obedience, because when we try and work it out, when we try and understand everything, sometimes that holds us back. And I really like the fact that you were in a position where you went, I know what I've got to do, even though it's, I don't want to do it because it's scary. I don't understand it. I'm not really sure where it all fits. Well, that's okay, because trust is putting our hand into somebody's who we know does have the answers. You know, as a child, again, you know, the whole family of God thing, our children teach us so much, don't they? I love our kids, and I love what God shows me through them. But when you look at when I'm with my children and when they're young, my 18-year-old doesn't do it so often, but when they slip their hand into yours when you're out in public, I don't do that with my dad, who's 70-odd, but only if I'm trying not to lose him. But there's that trust. There's that absolute trust of, do you know, I know that I'm safe. I don't know where we're going. I don't know. I know that we're going to the shops. I don't know how to get there, but I know that if I put my hand in his hand, then I'm going to be pretty safe because he knows the way and he's going to make sure I'm okay. And that, spiritually, is a really healthy place for us to be. It's actually healthy to recognize that we don't have all the answers. And it's actually quite secure place when you've got your head around it to go, actually, yeah, I don't know it all. I don't understand it all, but I'm secure in the one who does. And I am happy and prepared to put my hand in his and trust him. So, wide and deep, what comes first? Do we go deeper in our relationships? Do we go deeper into God before we're able to reach wider and influence and affect people around us? Actually, I think it's both at the same time. I think that we, as we go deeper, we'll find that we're going wider. And as we're going wider, we'll find that we're going deeper. Fruit trees and tree appear a lot in the Bible. And in this vision, Ezekiel suddenly looks up and there's this whole row of trees along the bank. And they're quite significant. It's quite significant that there are fruitful trees that pop up throughout the pages of the Bible. But trees and plants in general are very helpful to help us understand this point about deep and wide at the same time. You see, I think traditionally we often think that if we're well rooted in something, if we're, you know, if we're well sorted, then it means that anything else we can do more efficiently and more effectively. And we talk, you know, in the New Testament, there's quite a lot of teaching about this kind of thing and about being rooted in God. And that's really important that we are. It's important that we're established and rooted in God. But all too often, we can get into the trap of thinking that I'm not rooted enough, I'm not established enough, I've not been a Christian for long enough, I'm not experienced enough, I don't know enough, I'm not as experienced enough at talking to strangers as other people. I'm not as musical as others, so to be a really good worshipper. I'm not clever enough to write a paper about whatever. Don't know why I said that. Maybe I don't think I'm clever enough. No. But we can get into that trap of going, right, well, I'm going to wait until I feel like my roots in God are deep enough before I'll step out and actually do anything for him and feel that I've got a right to influence and make a difference in the world around me. Well, if you look at a plant, once that seed has germinated and it's sent its first leaf up, what you see is that both what happens on the top of the soil and underneath the soil is vitally important at the same time. Because something called photosynthesis happens, which many of you will be very familiar with. And photosynthesis is really important because the plant traps the energy from the sun, turns it into a form of sugars and starches, which a plant, along with carbon dioxide and water, can take down into the roots. And then something really amazing happens, because in the roots, that converts into food that it can excrete into the soil around us, which then feeds microbes that are living around the roots, which in turn produce vitally important minerals that the plant then needs to be able to grow. And what you see is, the taller, the bigger the plant that you see above the ground, the bigger the root system below the ground. But without both working together, neither can develop at the right rate. Does that make sense? Can you see where I'm going with this? I hope you can. And the other really exciting thing is that when all of that is happening, the most fertile part of the soil is what's happening around the roots, because there is so much life teeming in that bit of soil around the roots that because everything is working in conjunction together to create more life and to create more growth. And what tends to happen as well is that if you shorten the plant, the roots get shorter too. They'll break off to compensate. And so it's a really helpful image for us to understand that as we go deeper into God, as we go deeper into our relationships with him, as we go deeper in our knowledge with him, then we should also expect that going wider will happen as well, that we will find that we will have a wider influence. We will have a wider reach. But if we only do one and not the other, then it kind of stunts our own growth. And God, what God is saying to us is that I want you to intentionally go deeper, but I also want you to intentionally go wider. I want you to look for the areas and the opportunities where you can influence people around you in your setting, in your situation. I want to give you more boldness and more courage to do that. And as you step out and as you step up to all that God wants you to do, you will find that quite naturally you will go and be going deeper into him and into other relationships. But also, as we together are going deeper into him this year, we will also find that naturally we will find that our wider reach will suddenly become more obvious. We can, like I said before, you know, we can very easily get into that trap of one without the other. That I'll just wait till I feel a bit more perfect before I step out and feel like I've got a right to step out. If you get a chance to read Acts in the near future, we're going to look at some of that over the next few months as well. But the early church, if you want to see how they operated, read the book of Acts, because they really did step out incredibly boldly. And they certainly didn't have the mentality of, I'll wait until I feel deep enough before I go wide. They were moving in areas with God at the same time as turning the world upside down. And there's instances where they're just walking down the street and stuff just happens. Do you ever get frustrated when people come and say, oh yeah, I was walking down the street and somebody just came up to me and asked me to pray for them, and they didn't even know that I was a Christian? Or, you know, some of these amazing stories of God doing these incredible things, and you go, oh, I wish that happened to me. Well, I really believe that that kind of thing is going to start to happen as we start to see these principles worked out in our daily lives. And I'm just going to read Psalm 1 before I hand back over to Zoe. And again, we've got just another tree thrown in there, but it says this: blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditate on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaves do not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. I want to encourage us this morning to get hold of that image of the plant, of the tree, and allow ourselves to be rooted in God, rooted in the Word of God, rooted in him, and going really deep into all that he has and wants for us. And at the same time, to really expect that, like the tree, our branches, our foliage, our spheres of influence, and our ability to change the world around us, we will see that change over the coming weeks.
Thanks, Dave. That's great, isn't it? So if you were here last week, you'll know that we talked about one of the ways that we think that we can reach wider. And it is just the way, as Dave's talked about tonight, we think it's birth. And as we go deeper, we're going to go wider. And as we go wider, then we're going to go deeper. And being wider is about being fruitful. It's about seeing change. It's about seeing growth. It's about seeing fruit. I talked last week about a really clear vision for 2020. 2020 vision is it's not perfect vision, but it's being able to see clearly. And we feel clearly that what God has said to us for this year in 2020, that Ashwood will double in numbers through new Christians coming and being part of us. It's great when we have Christians join us. We love that. But this is specifically seeing new Christians come to faith and join us. Ashwood doubling. A year of double. And actually, if we have double vision, that's often seen as something that's not that good or positive, isn't it? We don't really want double vision. But actually, double vision is seeing two of something. And actually, kind of that's what we're kind of seeing, is that as I look at this place, I'll see two. For every person, there'll be another person. And so we talked a little bit about that last week. Again, listen to the podcast. I'm not going to go into loads of detail of where that came from, that vision came from. I talked about that last week. But what we talked about last week is, for that to happen, there needs to be two things. One of those is that we're all in. That involves all of us, and Dave's talked about that this morning, that whether we're a new Christian, whether we've been a Christian for a while, whether we consider ourselves to be ready to go wide, or we're not quite sure about that, it includes all of us. All of us can be part of this, all in, going wide. And sometimes that might get a bit uncomfortable. We need to step out in boldness to places where we might not have been before. But then the other thing that we felt we really need to focus on, as we're going to see this double and Ashwood grow to twice its size with new Christians, is that we really need to focus on praying. And obviously this fits really well with what Dave's been talking about this morning, that as we want to go wide, we need to go deep in our prayer. And as we go deep in our prayer, then we're going to see fruit as we go wide and in our reach and in our influence. So this morning I'm just going to talk a little bit about some of the ways we think it's going to be important to pray in this way. And there's going to be lots of opportunities for us to pray this year into this vision. We're going to have opportunities in our life groups, and we're looking at putting together a prayer shield, which we'll talk about later in the year. But we're going to be creating as a church lots of opportunities for us to pray together into this vision deep and wide. But we kind of believe that persistent prayer is important, and to pray persistently for the same things is really, really important. So what we're going to do is, if you've got your phone with you this morning, can you get it out? We don't normally encourage that. but we'd really like you to get your phone. And if you could set, we're going to all set together our phones to set an alarm go off. Hopefully you know how to do this. If you don't know how to do it, find someone afterwards who might know how to do it and they can help you. We're going to set our phones for 2020. That's 20 past eight in the evening if you need some help with your 24-hour clock. 2020, because this is the year 2020. And this is because we think it's really important for all of us to be all in with our prayer, praying at the same time for this vision. So we're going to set our alarms for 2020 to pray every day. And at that time when your alarm goes off, it's just a trigger to stop what you're doing and just pray just for a minute or two wherever you are. Sometimes we might even be together and the alarms will all go off and we can stop what we're doing to pray. And the two things we want the two ways we want to pray is to pray big and to pray specific. So when your alarm goes off, we can pray big and we can pray specific. So we can pray big and faith-filled for Ashwood to double. We can pray for this whole vision together. All of us can be praying. God, in this year, in 2020, we want to see our numbers double. We want to see someone come to faith for every person who is part of Ashwood. We want to see that happen. We want to be part of that. We want to be bold. We want to go beyond our borders. We want to step out. Help us to do that, God. So it's kind of praying big for ourselves, that we'll have boldness, that we'll be willing to do this, to step out. But we're also praying big for God to do something, because we believe that the Bible tells us in bringing people to faith, we have a part to play in that. We have to be obedient. We have to step out. But actually, God and his Holy Spirit will convict people and show them and reveal himself to them and bring them to faith. So let's pray big. And then we want you to pray specific. So last week we talked about the all in. Actually, it's not a big vision if we all can get on board and go, I'm going to bring one person. I'm going to commit this year to speaking and getting alongside one person, sharing my faith, inviting them to things, bringing them to church. I'm going to commit to one person. If we all did that, we can double quite easily. So we want you to then pray specifically for your one person who you're hoping that this year will come to faith in God. One person you can build a relationship with, that you can share your faith with, that you can bring along things. And I really believe that if you're just going to pray for one person, one thing for that person in that time, let's pray that God will increase our love for that person. Because actually, as God increases our love for that person, we're going to have a greater desire to see them come into God's kingdom, because for the people we love, that is what we desire, isn't it? We want them to walk with us. We want them to be alongside us. We want us to be on this journey with us, because we know how much it can change their lives. So let's pray for an increased love for that person. Pray for opportunities to talk to them. Pray that God will convict them during this year. So 2020, every day, let's pray together. Let's pray big that God will, this vision that he's given us, we believe it's from God, so we believe that God's going to make it happen, but he likes us to walk with him. He likes to be on the journey, and let's pray that. Let's pray big that this vision will be fulfilled. And then let's pray specific for our one person. And if you're not quite sure yet who that one person is, pray at 2020 that God will reveal that person to you, that he'll show you, that it'll be an existing relationship might come to mind, or it might even be that God makes a new relationship happen. It's going to be that one person. So if you're not quite sure yet who the one person is, then that's what we can pray. God, show us, who do you want to work? Who do you want me to connect with? Who do you want to work in? Who's in my life this year? Is that okay? Can we get on board with that? Are we happy to do that? I think we just wanted to, like, really practically root that, because actually, as we go, we know, don't we, that it's God who is going to make all of this happen, all of our vision. God gives us vision, and it's God who makes it be fulfilled as well. So we want to really root that in prayer, and there's going to be other ways that we do this, but this is the first one. So shall we just stand together? I think it would be good for us just to finish by praying. God, we just want to recognise this morning that you've given us vision to go deeper and to go wider. And God, we just open our hearts this morning to be receptive to that, Lord God. We pray that you'll continue to show us ways that we can go deeper into you. And Matt really helped us with that last week to dig down, but continue to show us ways that our relationship with you, our knowledge of you, the way we interact with you and with each other can be deepened in this year. We want our roots to go deep. But God, we also commit to reaching wide this year. We thank you for that vision. We thank you that you've given us big vision to be fruitful, to multiply, to have wider reach and influence in the places where you've put us and you've placed us. And so, God, we commit to being all in. We commit to being prepared to be uncomfortable, to be bold, to recognise that wherever we are in our journey with you right now, that we can share that with others and that that can have impact and reach. And God, we pray together now for the fulfillment of the vision that you've given us to go deep, to go wide, and to double. We're excited for what that holds. God, any anxiety about that, we put to one side and ask you to hold that and deal with it. That all the practicalities of what being double might mean, God, we put that into your hands. And we pray that you'll give us solutions, you'll give us creative vision to see how that would work. But God, what we want to see is your kingdom come, your will be done. We thank you that you love us and you want to be in deeper relationship with us. But we thank you too that you love our friends, you love our family, you love our community, and you want to be in relationship with those people as well, Lord God. We're so grateful that your love is big enough for deep and wide. And God, as we pray now, we just pray that for each one of us, you'll just call to mind one person. One person who's in our family or a friend, a work colleague, someone at the school gate. Someone who we come in contact with through the projects we do as a church, food bank and the cafe and seesaw and all the rest. But God, we just pray for each one of us. You'll put one person now into our mind who we think, yeah, I'm going to pray for that person to come to know you this year. And God, as we put that person in our mind, we just commit them to you now. We say, God, start to move in their lives. Start to give us boldness to develop that relationship and have conversations. We pray that you'll give us deeper love for that person. And we just pray that as we pray together, specifically, as we pray together big, faith-filled, as we pray together consistently, that we will see your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives and in the lives of those around us. In Jesus' name. Amen.